News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. So time now, 3:23 p.m. So in case you missed it earlier, we did have that breaking news segment. The Amber Heard, Johnny Depp debacle trial, the breakdown of civilization as we know it in a marriage. That is just, it's sad. I mean, it's sad to look at and go, wow. And then they get to drag it through the public eye and it becomes all the tabloid fare. Anyway, I have not even paid attention to that thing. Tried to avoid it. We get irritated when it was the only thing on the news for a while. I will say this. The verdict just came back a moment ago. Johnny Depp, in case you were tracking this case, Johnny Depp won the case, like won it big. Not only did they assign him $10 million in damages and find her guilty on all counts, but they also awarded him an additional $5 million in what's known as punitive damages. So that's a pretty strong smackback for Miss Amber Heard. And the interesting thing is going to be, does it have any impact on the laws of defamation as a whole? Because they literally had to find actual malice. I need to look and see, and I should have done this during the break. I need to look and see, because under the law, believe it or not, a case, the landmark case that works in the effect of dealing with defamation cases for public figures is called New York Times v. Sullivan, that arose out of Alabama. My recollection was it was during the times of the civil rights era in the 60s. I'm trying to go from memory here. I don't have it in front of me, so forgive me. Those of you who are steeped in jurisprudence, you may go, Phil, it's not right. No, I think I'm pretty accurate when I say it was during the era of civil rights marches and things that were going on. New York Times v. Sullivan. I think Sullivan was the sheriff of Montgomery County, and there was an article in the New York Times that he believed maligned him with regards to civil rights and that type of thing. And I don't remember the details of what they wrote. All I know is the case became New York Times v. Sullivan. And that case to this day is the landmark case that deals with the fact that if you are going to prove defamation against a public figure, it rises to a different level. So defamation, I'm typing it in, against public figures. Yeah. Well, and I guess public figures does include people like movie stars. So, yeah, just real quickly, I can tell you that the defamation of a public figure is literally communicating a false statement to a third party that causes harm to someone's reputation. But I believe with regards to a public figure, there's a requirement that you have to prove the actual malice. You have to prove they did it with the intent to harm. Sometimes defamation can be more along the lines of negligence with regards to a non-public figure. You know, Jane Doe and John Doe, they you know, get into it and somebody says something and next thing you know, they sue for defamation. Well, okay, lower bar. The rule of New York Times v. Sullivan was that there was a higher bar for a public figure. Because they're a public figure, you can talk about them. That's why you see so much, like, for instance, if there is anybody who was eligible for a claim of defamation with actual malice, it would be Donald Trump. Look what he endured for his 4 years of his presidency. But there's no claims. Why? Because he's a public figure. Just in recent years, Chief Justice Clarence Thomas, if not mistaken, said he believes it's probably time to revisit New York Times v. Sullivan. In today's era of 24/7 news cycles and social media, you're finding more and more that defamation is almost becoming the order of the day, and that people are so emboldened by the ability to say whatever they want to say, and who cares? No one's going to do anything to me anyway. They're a public figure. Well, that. So when one of the most conservative members of the current court says that it's time to potentially revisit that. Yeah. So the public figure in the New York Times v. Sullivan ruling, a plaintiff is required to prove either one, that the defendant knew the statement was false at the time it was published, or two, the defendant was reckless in publishing the statement in that they published the information without even bothering to investigate it. Yes. And in this particular case, was it New York Times? We sell it. 1964. Yes, it was. During the civil rights movement, the court's opinion concerned an advertisement in the New York Times, which requested financial contributions to provide to Martin Luther King Jr., who had been accused and subsequently charged with perjury in Alabama. There you go. Okay, so it did arise in Alabama. It was a civil rights-related case, and the defamation claim came from L.B. Sullivan, who was Alabama's public safety commissioner. Okay, he was not just Montgomery County. He was the state of Alabama's public safety commissioner. So there you go, folks. Landmark case, which impacted today's Amber Heard Johnny Depp case, arises out of Alabama law, makes its way to the Supreme Court of the United States, and becomes the law of the land. You know, so what's a public figure? I mean, who qualifies for this? Well, under the law, a public figure is an individual that lives in the public eye. Well, that sounds pretty broad. Yes, it is. It could be a government official, a politician, a celebrity, according to what I'm reading now, a business person, a movie star, a sportsman. It can be almost anybody, an Instagram influencer. Who knows? Who knows? All right, listen, we will be right back. It's going to be Copper's Corner coming up next. You're going to want to stay tuned for that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.